But I think we have a chance to hear now Zafar Bengash. Are you there, Zafar? Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. This is Zafar Bengash, and he is the proprietor, editor, crescent-online.net, news magazine of the Islamic movement. Zafar, I guess they said they were going to announce the results of the Lebanese election at dawn this morning, so I think it's past dawn. You must be following it. What's your assessment of what's happened?
Well, the first thing is that it's good that these elections were finally held, although many years later, in fact, 5 years later than they should have been held because of various political complications within Lebanon, various factions being dissatisfied, etc. Secondly, the election results have clearly shown that the alliance in which Hezbollah is involved, that alliance secured a very comfortable majority. The figures that I've seen so far, 67 seats in parliament out of a total of 128. Mm-hmm. And the current prime minister, he leads a faction as well. They've obviously lost, and the current prime minister, Saad Hariri, his own party dropped from 33 seats in the outgoing parliament to a mere 21 seats. So although he has his party or his alliance has lost the election, but the manner in which Lebanon's political system is drafted, the prime minister always has to be a quote-unquote Sunni Muslim. The president always has to be a Maronite Christian. And the speaker of the parliament always has to be a quote-unquote Shia Muslim. So you have a really strange kind of...
So how do you rule, how do you run a government with that formula?
Well,
doesn't that mean it always involves a kind of backroom situation where the leaders just get together and say, we'll do this if you'll do the other thing?
Yes, exactly. I mean, but the way it has worked out is that it forces political parties to enter into alliances with other political parties. So, for instance, Hezbollah is aligned with the Maronite Christian faction to which Michel Aoun, the president, belongs, mm-hmm. and also with some Sunni groups, although Hezbollah is predominantly Shia, but it is also in alliance with some Sunni groups, so that is the reason why the faction that Hezbollah is involved in has been able to garner a comfortable majority in parliament. So essentially, the two major factions, or three major factions, in which Hezbollah is involved is, of course, Hezbollah itself, the Maronite Christians, and the Amal movement, which is also a Shia movement, but the leader of this group is Nabih Barri, the outgoing speaker of the Lebanese parliament, mm-hmm. and who's likely to be again, perhaps, the speaker of the Lebanese parliament. But I want to point out that this arrangement, of course, was imposed by the French before they left Lebanon. And what they did was that they divided the parliamentary seats 50-50 between the Christians and the Muslims. And this confessional nature of Lebanese politics, unfortunately, has continued. I think it would be far better if they were to get rid of it and let the people decide whosoever they want to elect. But under the present circumstances, this is how it operates.
Well, the party that's gotten all the gets all the attention, probably justifiably so, Hezbollah, they've actually called for that, haven't they?
Yes, of course, they have. But what they are doing is that they are very careful in not upsetting too many people internally, because they see their major challenge and major responsibility as confronting this external threat to Lebanon from Israel. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Hezbollah has been the only group in the entire Middle East that has been able to withstand Israeli aggression. The Lebanese army that comprises about 68,000 men is simply not capable of confronting the Israeli army. Although the Lebanese army has heavy artillery and all kinds of other equipment, but unfortunately they are not motivated enough to be able to confront the Israeli army, and it's been left to Hezbollah to do so. And I would say that they have, in fact, given a very good account of themselves, the latest of which was in 2006, when although Israel inflicted heavy infrastructure damage on Lebanon, including destroying a part of Beirut completely, mm-hmm. Yet in terms of the fighting ability, Hezbollah was able to frustrate Israeli plans, as Condoleezza Rice had called in her infamous quote that these were the birth pangs of a new Middle East. What she was, of course, referring to was that Hezbollah would be wiped out,
yes.
And then Israel and America would dictate to Lebanon as to what kind of a political dispensation they are going to have.
Yeah.
Of course, that plan was shattered. Israel was defeated. It did not achieve any of its objectives. In fact, a couple of years ago, when there is this annual conference in Israel called the Herzliya Conference, in which former Israeli generals and Mossad heads and so on openly admitted that Israel had lost the 2006 war against Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net, the news magazine of the Islamic movement. And Zafar, as you're talking, I'm realizing it's a very Lebanon struggle has a lot to do with what is going on today in Syria. I can recall now, as you were talking, in the early stages, the terrorist elements and all the jihadist elements were being paid for by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United States, etc. They started talking about taking over Lebanon, didn't they?
Yes, of course.
They were going to tear Lebanon up as quickly and as thoroughly as Syria.
Yes. You know, I'm glad that you raised this point. There were, of course, a lot of mercenaries that were being shipped from Lebanon itself, as well as into Lebanon. And I can tell you that, you know, during those early years when the war was imposed on Syria, when I used to travel in that part of the world, I was often struck by the fact that I saw so many non-Lebanese traveling to Lebanon. And this was on these various Middle Eastern airlines, Emirates and Etihad and so on. And on one of those occasions when I went to Beirut, to Lebanon, I asked some of my friends and I said, I was really surprised to see so many Afghans and others coming to Lebanon. What's going on? And they said, well, these people that are coming here are actually all financed by the Saudis, and they are being shipped via Lebanon into Syria. And they showed me entire blocks of apartment buildings that the Qataris had bought, and these people, the mercenaries that were being brought from outside, would be housed in these apartment buildings for a while and then sent into Syria. And, of course, the Syria-Lebanese border is quite porous, so it was easy mm-hmm. to smuggle people in there. In fact, a few days ago, there was a study that was published by FIRIL. This is a Berlin-based studies group, and they revealed that since 2011 to 2016, beginning of 2016, a total of $45 billion had been given to these various terrorist groups that have been brought in from outside into Syria. There have been mercenaries from 93 countries. And the largest contingent has been from Saudi Arabia by 24,500. And they said that altogether, 193,000 mercenaries from various countries have recycled into various stages. Mm-hmm. So Saudi Arabia was the biggest funder of these terrorist groups with $18 billion. Qatar was the second biggest with $17 billion. So out of $45 billion, $35 billion were contributed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar alone. So we can see the mess that they have created in Syria, the horrible killings and beheadings and organ eating and so on, these barbarians that they sent into Syria. But mercifully, Syria, the Syrian army, its friends and allies, including Hezbollah and Iran and Russia, came to Syria's help and prevented the takeover of the Syrian government by these head choppers and organ eaters.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, of course, Syria's infrastructure has been destroyed. At least $200 billion worth of damage has been caused. But the Syrian state has survived. Mm-hmm. And I think it's on the way to sort of retrieving and recovering all of its territory.
Yeah. Again, it's Zafar Benghesh. And on that point, and again, when people talk, I shouldn't say people, but our mainstream media likes to say Iran sponsored and all this about Hezbollah. And it's forgotten that the first entry of Hezbollah fighters really into the Syrian matter was a result of the terrorist elements beginning to come into their communities along the Lebanese border.
Yes, of course.
And they had to protect them.
Yes, absolutely. And the Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, has said on a number of occasions that if we do not fight this battle in Syria, then we would have to fight it on Lebanese soil. And so it is for our own protection that we have to go there, because these terrorist elements, there are, in fact, you know, a number of terrorist leaders, these Saudi-sponsored, particularly in the city of Tripoli. Now, we need to be careful that we don't confuse this with Tripoli in Libya. This is the city of Tripoli in Lebanon, northern Lebanon, from where a number of these Saudi-financed and backed terrorists were being sent into Syria. And also, these terrorist elements were beginning to flex their muscles inside Lebanon. And in fact, the original idea was that once these terrorists have been successful in Syria, that then they will go after Hezbollah in Lebanon. And the Saudi project of destroying Hezbollah for the sake of Israel and the United States and taking over Lebanon completely would be fulfilled. But obviously, because of the fact that Hezbollah made enormous sacrifices in Syria and showed its mettle in those battles inside Syria, that this project was defeated.
Yeah, your remarks, by the way, help us with, as you know, we're told all the time that we have to be careful about false news and Russia-based or whatever information. And I'm reading today's Toronto Star, and it says, the war has divided the country, they're talking about Syria, pitting the support, pitting parties supporting Iran-sponsored Hezbollah intervention in Syria and to aid Bashar Assad against Saudi parties, Saudi-aligned parties. So Hezbollah is described as being Iranian and the others as being Saudi. But the word intervention isn't correct. They were invited to join the war against the terrorists, and the Syrian government did that. There's no mention that the U.S. is intervening or that the Saudis are intervening.
Yes, of course. The manner in which the media here in Canada the U.S. and in the West in general talk about the situation in Syria, etc., is as if Hezbollah, Iran, and Russia are as guilty of interfering in Syria without the invitation of the Syrian government. Whereas, in fact, Hezbollah, Iran, and Russia are in Syria at the express invitation of the Syrian government, which is a legitimate government which won the elections. Mm-hmm. President Bashar al-Assad won the elections fair and square in 2014, and also the second round of elections in 2016. And so he is a legitimately elected leader of Syria, whereas the U.S., French, Turkish, Saudi, Qatari, Jordanians, and all these other various countries' forces are in Syria illegally. The Syrian government has repeatedly called for them to leave their territory. The U.S. has, in fact, occupied one-third of Syria east of the Euphrates River. They have even set up about 20 military bases over there. They are flying their Air Force planes there. They are bombing various areas. And so whenever this issue is presented, when it is presented as if what the Saudis and the Americans and the French and the Turks and the Qataris, etc., are doing in Syria is the same as what Hezbollah and Iran and Russia are doing, that's a complete misrepresentation of facts. That's a distortion of the reality.
What they call false news.
Absolutely.
They make an equivalency when one is in violation of UN Charter and international law.
Exactly. There is absolutely no equivalency here at all. And Iran is on record as having said that the day the Syrian government asks us to leave, we will withdraw each and every one of our personnel. When Iran has emphasized that we are there expressly at the request and the invitation of the Syrian government. And it's also important to bear in mind that Iran and Syria have a strategic relationship, a defense relationship. There is an agreement between the two countries that if one country is attacked and it calls upon the other country for help, then that other country is obliged to come to its help. And so that is precisely what Syria did. It requested Iran for help because it was under an international invasion by these mercenaries, 193,000 of them from 93 different countries. And so, obviously, the Syrian government felt that it needed the help of its friends. So it invited its friends to come and help it.
Turned out to be a wise decision.
Yes. And exactly what the Syrian government did, and Iran and Hezbollah and Russia came to its rescue because it's a legitimately established government.
Yeah. Last point, I know I'm sorry to keep this so long, but I want to ask there's been, you've pointed out and it's understood that the Hezbollah is a sophisticated political organization. Canada and the Western states all decided overnight to make a decision to identify them as, or to call them terrorists and to not recognize. I think that was the Harper government might have done it, but surely now with the democratic expression of what the people of Lebanon want, instead of getting into a fit about it, there ought to be a recognition this is a political entity respected by the Lebanese people, and there should be recognition, should there not?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Hezbollah is not merely a fighting group, not just a militia. It's a political party. It's a social organization. It runs some of the best operated hospitals and schools in Lebanon that are open to everybody. They don't restrict it only to their own members. I also want to point out that Hezbollah was declared by Canada a terrorist organization back in November of 2003. And there was a false news, absolutely fake news, put out by a so-called journalist from London. His name was Paul Martin. He has deep links with the Israeli embassy in London. He alleged, and this is exactly the story how it happened, he alleged that Hezbollah's Secretary General, Sayyid Nasrallah, has said that from now on we are going to attack Israeli targets anywhere in the world. Now, that was a totally false news. And in fact, the
Yeah, so as to characterize as, if true, would be terrorism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, at that time, it was a liberal government, and they took this news and branded Hezbollah a terrorist organization. In fact, the CBC's Neil MacDonald got hold of Paul Martin and brought him on CBC television. And he confronted him, and he said, Neil MacDonald told him, he said that I've checked with the Canadian ambassador in Beirut to ask whether Hezbollah's Secretary General made any such statement. And the Canadian ambassador in Beirut confirmed that Hezbollah's Secretary General has made absolutely no such statement. He has not said, he has not given any such speech that Hezbollah is going to attack Israeli targets anywhere in the world. Hezbollah is in record in saying that they are only going to confront Israel if Israel attacks their territory. They're not going to fight Israeli, you know, interests or attack Israeli interests anywhere else in the world. And in fact, that fellow, that so-called journalist, Paul Martin, walked away from the interview when Neil MacDonald confronted him with that information.
That's a great
story.
That's
the kind of, you know, evidence, and for so quote-unquote evidence, that our own government in Canada used to brand Hezbollah a terrorist organization.
Wow. Well, that's a great story. I'm glad you told us that. It's exactly what the Canadian public needs to hear. Zafar Benghash, crescent-online.net. It's a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to talking to you again.
Sure, Phil. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.